Hello and welcome to the Engagement Coach Podcast.
Welcome to the Engagement Coach Podcast with your host, Amrit Sander. So the topic of this week's conversation is growth mindset. Now, we're all very familiar with Carol Dweck's work on growth mindset and fixed mindset, but I want to delve deeper into how we utilize what we know about that work and if there's any more that's coming out of it in the current climate of fear, of uncertainty, and for leaders and managers who are leading organizations, how can they apply what we know about the growth mindset? And to help me with that, I've got an expert today, Ali Brown, and she's going to be talking about this subject with me. So Ali, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Good to be here.
So before we dive in to learn all about, the mindset, it'll be good to introduce yourself, who you are and your credentials.
Thanks, Amrit. My name's Ali Brown. I'm a lecturer at Coventry University in business and occupational psychology. And I'm also a business psychologist consultant, specialising particularly in resilience in general and growth mindset more specifically.
So Ali, the topic of growth mindset, you know, the Carol Dweck's work has been around a long time. We all think we know so much about it now because it's become popular science that everybody's read into. What is that that growth mindset tells us about our ability to cope in stressful situations? Or
So I think growth mindset in terms of coping with stressful situations, it's one of a suite of tools in resilience in general. So resilience meaning the ability to adapt to different circumstances and environments and the ability to bounce back in the face of adversity. And the core message of growth mindset really is that we all, as humans, as organisations working together, we have that ability, that capacity to adapt and change, to ride the wave of change and to navigate our way through it and find a new normal and find success. And I think the really important thing for people to realise is that mindsets are not just an individual thing. They do reside within the individual, but they are also part of the fabric of an organisational culture. And so that's a very important thing to consider today, especially.
And I'm going to come back and talk about the culture bit because I think it's really important. You said about change. You know, we're constantly under this tension, I think, where on one hand we yearn change and on the other hand we hate it. You know, it's, and especially now we're in a period of huge uncertainty. We almost want to go back to what we had because it was familiar. And how do you maintain a growth mindset in an environment that is filled with uncertainty, where we're fearful of our jobs? You know, I'm thinking about some of the leaders and the owners of organizations out there who are in charge of, you know, lots of people and their livelihood. How does one maintain a growth mindset or even get into the space of a growth mindset in an environment like this?
Yeah, that's a really crucial question, isn't it? So I'd say firstly, for the leader who's struggling in this environment and having those thoughts of doubt, I think that's going to be completely natural. The question is what you do with that. And I think the temptation is to, when you're having those negative thoughts, those negative automatic thoughts that tell you, I can't cope, I can't do this, I can't see a way forward. The temptation for many, I think, is to push those thoughts to one side and distract oneself from that. But actually, psychological research shows that's probably the worst thing you can do with those thoughts. If you do that, they're actually more likely to come back with more aggression and more venom. So it's really important to engage with those thoughts and to face them. And the resilience research shows that one way of doing that is to capture those like automatic negative thoughts that you might have and take some time out to turn that into what's called a coping thought. And all of this comes from like cognitive behavioral therapy, which has been around for many years. So deliberately replacing those thoughts of self-doubt and I'm not coping with something that you know is equally or even more true. So for example, it might be saying, I've faced tough times before and I've always overcome. And then you choose to look into that thought when the negative thoughts come and say, no, instead I'm going to look at this coping thought. I'm going to allow my mind to go there. I'm going to explore that. And that becomes a much safer platform to stand on. So it's the main message there, really, is just taking the time to engage with those thoughts, not to be afraid of them, and to have the confidence to do something about that. Reach out to your network, share how you're feeling, talk about that, reflect with others. And then, you know, practicing mindfulness can really help with that resilience building too. For example, using the Headspace app, that's got some great free mindfulness practices on there to try out.
So this growth mindset, we think we know so much about it. You know, we're all experts now on the growth mindset since Carol Dweck's work came out. I suspect we know very little, you know, this popular science. And you talked about organizational cultures. How do organizational cultures get to grips with developing a growth mindset? How does a collective start to think? Because, you know, the other side of it is, you know, fear is contagious. You know, I've seen it sweep across floors of organizations when you know, they're going through downsizing or restructuring. Fear is contagious. How does, again, an organization develop a growth mindset as a collective?
Yeah, great question. So the growth mindset, or the culture of a growth mindset, or of a fixed mindset indeed, will come through many different cultural artifacts within an organization. And once you know what those are, it's actually quite easy to spot and to change the message. So for example, your employee appraisal process or performance management targets, the way those are worded and what they're going after will reveal how much of a fixed mindset or a growth mindset your organization has. You know, are you emphasizing showing talent and flair like a fixed mindset organization would do, or are you emphasizing a learning and development process and perseverance and the things that come with that process? Also, the legendary stories that are told within an organization, the heroics, the stories, what do they show? What values underpin those? The speeches by top management, newsletters and award ceremonies, what are they emphasizing? Again, so there are many practical ways that a growth mindset culture can be very deliberately put in place over time, like comprehensive onboarding programs, mentoring and coaching programs. They are a really good facet of a growth mindset culture, because it's putting that emphasis on development and learning and saying, we as a company, we believe in development and learning, and therefore we're investing in this way, sponsoring qualifications as well. And I think really importantly, the issue with multi-source feedback. So leaders, managers at all levels in the organization, actively encouraging multi-source feedback. So reaching down and getting feedback from their employees, open feedback, not just feedback going, you know, a top-down approach. But building that culture where we all want to listen to one another, because we're learning, we're a learning organisation.
I love the multi-source feedback. I mean, one of my personal frustrations is with employee engagement surveys, you know, when we ask questions off the shelf, and you think, well, how do you know you're asking the right question? And then, so, you know, we tend to go in and we do cultural diagnostics where we just ask people, what's it like working here, and get some open feedback from various groups. So I'm fully on board with that. You mentioned how we can do that as a culture, but listening to you, it could also be used very easily as a tool to understand whether we have a fixed mindset or not. I mean, if you think about analyzing exactly what you've said there, the messages, the stories, you could take an audit of an organization to say, what's the messaging coming out here? Is it one of a fixed mindset or a growth mindset?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, and that'd be a really fascinating project to do. There's many of these practical things you can get your hands on in terms of those cultural artifacts and really examine, what is it? What are the values that underpin this thing that's part of your organisation and your culture? One example that comes to mind is of in the fire service, who I've done some consultancy work for recently. They give out long service awards. So I really like that as an indication of a growth mindset culture, where it's saying, we really value the 20 years that you put here. We value the perseverance. We value the commitment that you've shown. And so I think that's a great example of a growth mindset, a culture in action.
One of the things that does come to mind is when you're thinking about growth mindsets or not, you know, the fixed mindset, is organizations where learning isn't encouraged. And I say it's not overtly discouraged, but it's the messaging. So when something goes wrong, it's the way people behave that then sends that subliminal messaging out to say, failure is not acceptable around here. And I know, I've seen that working with organizations now for the last 5 years, where people will say we're a learning culture, but actually what comes out and the way they behave is there's a fear of failure, and what we end up doing is creating an environment of compliance.
Absolutely, and no innovation, that's the cost of it. If you can't have failure, then you can't have innovation. They have to come together. I love that quote by Thomas Edison, the inventor of the electric light bulb, when he said, "I haven't failed 10,000 times. I've just found 10,000 ways it doesn't work." And that's what you want. You want an organization full of Thomas Edisons. And if you want the innovation and the creativity and you want to be competitive and retain that competitive edge in that space, you have to have failure as part of the process. You can't have success without it, I believe.
And is there some of the research I was doing was saying, or I'd read somewhere about how you can have growth mindset and fixed mindsets in different environments and in different areas of your life. So it's not so much the individual to say, I've got a growth mindset or a fixed mindset. It's actually, I tend to have I might have a growth mindset in one part of my life versus a fixed mindset in another part of my life. Is that true?
Yes, absolutely. So there's been active research in the area of growth mindsets now for more than 40 years. And within that time frame, everything under the sun has been looked at, really, in terms of mindsets. So mindsets in health, in terms of quitting smoking or weight loss, in romantic relationships as well, in business, in education especially, which is where the field was first kind of birthed. So yeah, absolutely, and it's very possible to have a growth mindset in one area of life. Perhaps, you know, you've really become very fit and very good at weightlifting, for example. You might have a growth mindset there, but perhaps a fixed mindset in terms of your ability and your job. Perhaps you think that you've either got it or you haven't in your work. And I think the really important thing for organisations and managers to know is that they have a responsibility to foster the right growth mindset in their employees, because one thing that the research shows time and time again, especially more recently, is that mindset is something that's very malleable. So it's very individuals' mindsets are very sensitive to the culture in which they are playing out. So if you can take a growth-minded individual and put them into an organization, but if the messages that come through from management, the messages through performance management, the speeches, etc., if there's an emphasis on that genius and talent culture, then that person's mindset will very quickly change with regards to their work into more of a fixed mindset.
And going back to that individual approach, the other bit I wonder is how do you balance having a growth mindset with also the fact that many of us carry a voice in our head, that imposter syndrome to say you're not good enough, combined with the environment of uncertainty? How do you go about really helping yourself out of that space to be in the growth mindset? You know, because there's almost a double challenge there, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a really interesting question. There's two things in particular that come to mind. Number one, actually, when we take the time to do so, if you look back on your own journey, you can see that a growth mindset has got you to where you are today. So I can reflect on my career, as many other people will be able to do. And by doing so, you can see the years of hard work and the setbacks along the way, the mistakes, the feedback that you had along the way, and how all of that over time, small step by small step, that built you to where you are today. And so by looking back at your own journey, and indeed a lot of the intervention research on growth mindset takes that very approach in terms of remedying people's mindsets, then that really helps you to build that growth mindset. I think also the second thing is to have particular icons, people that you look up to. Again, that might be in a professional context, or it might be in a different context altogether. but having an icon that you can look to, and again, looking at their journey and the failures that they encountered along the way, and seeing that in reality, you know, I would say like talent is a bit of a myth. I think in our society, we're very obsessed with the glamour of natural talent and raw ability. But actually, 9 times out of 10, people have got to where they are out of hard graft and trial and error. So I think engaging in some of those inspirational stories and characters is a really helpful way to build that growth mindset as well.
So you're saying actually, wherever we are in our lives, we've got here because of a growth mindset. So the fact that we've had it, that whatever we've achieved in our lives has been due to a growth mindset, which means we have the ability to develop it because that's what's got us here.
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, if you take that really basic example of learning to walk when we were 1 or 2, when you watch a little child learning to walk, they fall over so many times, don't they? There's so many failures, but they don't give up. They keep going. And over time, literally step by small step, they make it. Eventually they're walking. And we can't remember being, you know, that age and going through that process, but we did. And we've done the same again through our studies, through our careers, in many different areas of life.
So knowing that we've had a growth mindset that's got us to here, to where we are, how do we end up developing a fixed mindset? What is it that happens that makes us then somehow retreat or retrench back into a space that says, I'm not good enough? What goes on?
Yeah, really interesting question. I think partly the culture in our school system is to blame for that. So the grading, you know, I've got an A grade or a B or a C, and the labelling and assigning you to a specific level like that actually feeds quite a fixed mindset. Because what people forget is that a fixed mindset can be something that feels very positive at the time. So I'm a prime example of that. I was very academic at school. I got A's in everything, A's in all my A levels. But it meant that because I was so successful in terms of academia, that a B grade was a fail. And if I got a B, when I did, in fact, I got a B in my maths GCSE, and that felt like a fail because I was used to A being success, and that fixed mindset said, I am brilliant at school, I am academic, I'm clever. And suddenly when something different happens, you swing to the complete opposite and say, well, I'm actually terrible. I haven't got what it takes after all. I have no talent in maths. I can't do it. So I think the school system is partly to blame. I think in our culture as well, like the obsession with genius and talent, you know, all the popular shows that were on TV, The X Factor and all of these kind of talent shows that kind of portray that message of you've either got it or you haven't. And we love it when people have got that natural talent, and we really want to invest in that, and we're fascinated by that. And even kids TV programs, like my son really likes the Power Rangers at the moment, and I was laughing to myself watching this the other day thinking, that's such a fixed mindset, because you've got these 5 characters with their special skills, and they've got their back boxed in to that one special skill, you know, and I don't know what they are, I haven't watched it closely enough. But that idea of, well, this is my space, this is what I can do, I can't do anything outside of that, so don't ask me to diversify or to change, because this is my talent, this is what I've got to offer. So I think it's a real cultural thing around us. And as we've discussed in our organisations as well, if there's that emphasis on talent. And
so just on that, within organizations, you know, the first thing that comes to mind is then how we go about appraising people. So you know, how is one meant to measure the performance of an individual then, if we're then also then fearful of compartmentalizing them into a grade that might reflect or induce a fixed mindset?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's true that results and outcomes are important at the end of the day. So I don't think we're saying don't regard those results and those outcomes in any way at all. I think inevitably that needs to be part of the measure. But I think it's just being aware that you want to bring in that growth mindset perspective. You want to communicate to your employees that you believe in their ability to improve and adapt and develop over time. And so it's making sure that there are those targets or those appraisal processes in place where you reflect on and you have the opportunity to comment on and congratulate people and celebrate people's use of excellent strategies, or celebrate people's innovation, their creativity, their willingness to branch out and try something new, or their longevity and perseverance in sticking with the process until they've got the outcome. So I think it's just making sure those are incorporated too, rather than, you know, throwing out anything to do with measures and outcomes.
I think also within the organizations, what we tend to do, and I've seen some really bad examples of this, is the way it's done means that label is assigned to the individual to say, this is what you are. It's an identity to say, I'm only a grade one versus a grade four, as opposed to saying, you haven't reached it yet. You haven't got there yet. So it feels like a journey, whereas actually we place it as an identity to say, you are not good enough. So almost the way in which we go about doing it can't help, can
it? Yes, that's true. Yeah.
So, Ali, you know, the growth mindset, the fixed mindset, all of this work that came out from Carol Dweck, we think we know so much about it, but there must be some more research out recently that you could shed light on that would be really interesting for us to know.
Yes, absolutely. Just this year, in fact, a new study has come out from the States by Carol Dweck and colleagues about how the growth or the fixed mindset culture in an organisation has a significant impact on employees' commitment to the organisation and their trust in the organisation as well. It's a really fascinating study where they looked at the Glassdoor data for Fortune 500 companies in the States and compared that to the mission statements from those companies. They coded the mission statements to assess how much of a fixed or a growth mindset was present in those mission statements. And the findings were that the employees from fixed mindset organizational cultures reported being much less satisfied in the organization's culture. And more specifically, they talked about there being a lack of innovation because of the fear of making mistakes, a lack of integrity and ethical behavior as well. And also a lack of collaboration within the organization. And overall, that the study showed that those employees who work for a fixed mindset company place less trust in their company to treat them fairly, and therefore they expressed a greater desire to leave the company for other opportunities in the future. And I found this really interesting, actually, and it wasn't just employees' own reports of their commitment and trust of the organization, but that lower commitment and trust had also been observed by their supervisors' reports as well. So it's having a very real impact on their work and their conduct.
That's fascinating. So what you're saying is, from that research, the mission statement in itself dictated the degree of fixed mindset or growth mindset.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, really interesting. I think culture is such a fascinating concept, isn't it? It can feel so nebulous, but actually it's so real. And the mission statement of an organisation, I can think, can be very revealing. If you've got a leadership who are genuine believe in that mission statement, it's an excellent measure of seeing what is it this company is all about? What are the leaders aiming for? What are they leading their people towards?
And I guess it opens up other questions about the purpose, the values across an organization. What is the messaging that we're putting out there about fixed mindset or growth mindset, but without realizing that the impact we're having on the mindset of individuals about the culture, and this is what we expect around here. Fascinating. Well, so growth mindset—it's a topic that we think we knew so much, or we thought we knew so much about. But and there you go—you surprise us with more information that you think. That's really interesting stuff. So, thank you very much, Ali, for joining us today. I really appreciate your input into helping us understand more, but also to getting us to rethink in an environment where we're full of uncertainty and there's fear about how leaders can go about creating a growth mindset themselves, taking some time out to recall and remember times in their lives, because we've all got to where we have because of a growth mindset. The fact that we had it means we can have it. And then also some of the subliminal messaging that's going on in organizations so that we can start dissect and review to say what's going on in across an organization. So thanks, Ali. Thanks once again for joining us.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Really appreciate it. So that's our podcast for today, looking at growth mindset, fixed mindset, and how we can develop our mindsets in this environment to really make the most of the situations around us, and remembering that we have developed a growth mindset, which is what's got us here, and how can we utilize that? And also thinking about our mission statements and our purpose and our values. Are they sending out messages that might be dictating the sort of mindset we create in our organizations? Amrit Sander from the Engagement Coach. I will see you soon. Take care.
The Engagement Coach Podcast.